Ira, can you hear me?
We're rolling.
All right, look at this. First try. We do need to make sure after an hour today, if we go that long, which, I mean, come on, that we don't get cut off like we did last time. So sorry for that, everyone, but we're here in a new year. It's 2024. We had our first delay podcast of the year. Ira, if you want to talk about that at all, you know, you could, you know, start the father corner early today.
Sure, we can jump into it. I mean, I feel like it's natural. Sure, it's in the parenthood section of the podcast, but it's also a natural bridge to social decorum, which I think is another area that we can cover in the podcast today.
Yeah, I think I think there's a bunch of things we're gonna hit earlier on before the fantasy talk today. I think that's the direction we're going here. I think. Yeah.
All right. Okay. That makes me.
For the first time ever, I kind of looked at your rundown. I said that's nice, and I'm mixing and matching and gonna throw things around. I've had some thoughts independently of this that I'm gonna surprise you with too. And we'll get into it.
Yeah, I have a feeling you might have another social decorum item for the list here. So, yeah, I look forward to getting your news. So, Paul and I had a brief connection on Friday. I have a few minutes here where Leanna's out actually going to the liquor store for us. So, she's doing a run to the the Super Right, that thing by the Holland Tunnel, that nice one.
Super Buy Right.
Thank you. Yes. Great place to be. And we have a lovely guy there who likes to usually give recommendations. So we'll see what she comes back with.
We're talking about wine. We're talking wine.
A wine recommendation guy.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
I mean, not really what I'm looking for, but it's nice to have a few bottles on hand. We were going to pot on Friday originally. Unfortunately, the original, or at least the current date that we were going to try doing the Wells move out from my bedroom to his own bedroom was, technically it was the 9th, but I wasn't working those for several days at the office, so Leanna didn't make the move. So Friday was the first attempt, first attempt. He wound up he moved, and he was sleeping, he did his thing. But Leanna was having a tough time coming to grips with it. So, there was, unfortunately, in my current living environment, if I had a nice podcast studio like Paul has, I mean, I could have a little privacy, you know, and I would have a crying in the background of the podcast, but I felt like it just wouldn't be right to have all that crying on the background audio ruin the podcast quality.
So I was confused Friday when we were talking. I was not sure if you're talking about Wells is crying, Leanna's crying, your emotions or her emotions. It sounds like both of these pockets are the Leanna section, right? It's Leanna's crying linked to her emotions to Wells moving out. But he did well moving rooms?
He slept fine. She did wind up sleeping in the room that night.
But she was the one crying, and she was the one with the emotions. Got it. Okay. Very clear.
Okay. Yeah, no, Wells is doing great. Yeah, he seems all good on his end. He wakes up once a night during the long sleep, gets a feed, and then, he sleeps till whatever, 6-ish most days. What does one feed in the middle of the night? But anyway, so, you know, the challenges of parenting, something Paul I'm sure knows well, and some of our listeners here.
I thought you never succumbed to the challenges of parenthood, Ira. That's what you had really told us all prior to you having a child. So,
Naturally, I don't, Paul. That's why we were trying to make the move here for, you know, the best for everyone involved, in my opinion. But, I don't cry quite as hard. So, you know, where we're at is Wells is back in our bedroom for now. And we'll see whenever he does move to greener pastures in his own bedroom.
Well, look, only about 18 years to college, high school graduation, he's going to go off to college. So sometime between now and then, I'm sure he'll make that transition out of the room. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it's good. In the meantime, we'll pay rent to keep having the extra bedroom on hand. And, you know, I'm sure when we have to drop them off for daycare and Leanna has to go to school, it'll work out fine.
What a good dig. I cannot believe we're paying for this extra bedroom that we're not even using. I love it. I love the subtle dig there. No comment. Just don't incriminate yourself. Don't incriminate yourself. You're fine. You're fine. I summarize for the listeners. That's it. That's all I got to say. I am thinking, by the way, there's a bit of an echo in this room. Do you hear it on your end? Or am I crazy? Okay.
It's not coming through for listeners.
I may have to get, you know, some professional soundproofing in here, you know, really yeah. Keep, you know.
Eggshell the walls. That. Yeah, that'd be badass.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But look, You know, you mentioned Wells. He's now, what, 3 months just about?
Yeah, like three months, yeah.
Okay.
A few days passed.
I wouldn't ask this normally to a parent of a three-month-old, but have you begun exposing him to Disney stuff at all? And if so, in what way?
Not that much. I mean, you know, Disney's a bit of a point of attention for the relationship, so I'm trying to keep – I don't know. I'm trying to not let him get a lot of exposure. So like when I want to hit him with something, I can do it and be like, well, look, we're not doing it any other time. So like, this is something I want to do. Obviously, you know, I'll sing songs all day from Disney movies. I mean, that's just kind of, and there's no problems with that, but, I'm limiting any, I mean, we don't have a lot of like Disney apparel yet. Things like that. Libby was nice enough, I think, to get us a Disney t-shirt. So, you know, that's in the arsenal. Yeah, we have like a Mickey Mouse doll, you know, but it's not a huge amount of Disney.
So no movies yet. I bring it up only because I feel like the last few weeks.
Like an actual movie?
Yeah, I feel like the last few weeks I've been getting to the point where I'm watching some of these movies and I'm like, look, I understand that times have changed a bit and like you have to view it in that lens. But some of these is like, how is this ever acceptable during the time? Like
classic?
Joey has to watch Cinderella and first I put the cartoon one on. And there's this whole long, like, 10-minute scene where a cat is chasing a mouse and trying to eat it, which she's, like, terrified of. Not really sure why it's in the movie. But then I realized she really wanted to watch the Rodgers and Hammerstein one with Moesha that was on, like, ABC on a Friday night back in the day. Or Sunday night.
I can imagine it.
And, like, Whoopi Goldberg was the queen.
Maybe I watched it. I don't know.
So, anyway, you know.
How does she come across these things? She's,
that one, I think, quite the Disney. Amy might have introduced her to that one because the music's good. And I guess the big takeaway is that we'll ignore anything for good music. But, like, you know, this guy's going around town with the slipper. And it's like, you don't recognize the woman that you allegedly love, like, based on her appearance. Like, you saw her, but you had to go to the shoe. And in this movie, she's black and he's putting it on white people's feet. And I'm like,
we don't see color.
I guess you don't see color. I guess this is the point in time where like you pretend color didn't exist in American society. We're like, we're all the same, but it was a little off-putting for me.
We're all the same.
The other one is Little Mermaid, which really bothers me. We're ignoring because of the good music, I think. But like, she basically just wants to be on land because like, I don't really know. It's never really quite explained besides she's just fascinated with people. And then the prince guy just like thinks she's hot. Like she can't even speak, and he's like, "Oh, she's so hot! Like what? Like what?
Is that not an attractive quality?"
It shouldn't be the only one, you know. Usually in these things, it's like you meet and there's the spark, and then you meet them, and you're like, "Oh, I'm in love." And this, it was just, you know, "Oh, I hope she never regains her voice again. That'd be great for me," you know.
I mean, they kind of expanded on the Eric character in the modern version.
Okay. I have not seen the modern version, so I'll hold my judgment there.
Oh, okay. You haven't seen it yet. All right. I thought you were going to give us a little more race takes here. We got to like give Scott a call and bring him into the podcast. But,
the EBTV UI race relations expert, Scott Rappaport. All right. Let's move on. Okay. So I have bad news for you. And well, I guess this is probably also go into our social discourse that you want to talk about. When we were out for Garrett's thing, there were two main events that came up, and I guess I imagine go-karts is part of what you wanted to talk to as well. Something like that?
Yeah, so like go-karts is okay. On the table. So, like a discussion item.
Go-karts is one of the events. The second event was All-Star, which you graciously sent out the invite for. I was like, let's do it in Hoboken. I checked my calendar today, or I guess 2 days ago, and I realized I'm going to be in Florida during All-Star Saturday. Not my fault.
Wow.
It was booked back in like...
Not your fault. Do you not follow the NBA schedule?
I didn't book the trip. And there's...
Control your life, man. Come on.
I didn't book it. It is bad. We should have gotten it on the calendar earlier. That's my bad. Not that I think Amy would have changed the trip anyway, but yeah, I will not be at All-Star Saturday. That was the bad news for you.
All right. That was Leanna's guess, actually. Man, wow. She knows it well. Man, that is an embarrassing announcement on Paul's part here. I can't believe you tried.
I own up to it, Ira. I own up to my mistakes.
We're going to get a little more context first. Let's explore all the ways Paul could have been a better manager, a better founder of All-Star Saturday. and stop this from happening. So give us a back, give us some background.
It's pretty simple. This is the trip to Amy's parents' house in Florida trip. She booked it. There is decent coordination going on because they do have other guests that come to their house. So like they have to, you know, stagger things. But yeah, she booked
it. Does Amy just book trips for you without discussing the dates? I mean, well, you don't have a calendar that you like to reference?
I thought, well, All-Star Saturday was not on the calendar.
Also, like Valentine's Day, like you know the time period. This is
so I thought
standard stuff.
So, and actually, this is on her. She kept saying that we were going on President's Day week because that's what we did last year, which is the Monday after the trip. So, like, she keeps saying like we're getting back before President's Day. So I don't. She keeps saying it's President's Day. So I just assumed it was the same week as last year when there was no conflict. But the issue is that she did it the week leading up to President's Day, which means we're not actually taking off President's Day on this trip. So that's why I was confused. And it didn't even cross my mind until this past week.
Yeah, this is some support life management on Paul's part here.
Yeah, what I feel more bad about is I did accept the calendar. Well, I was pretty drunk at Garrett's thing. Like, you have to give me credit there. No one else is on my level at that event.
I mean, I think I was getting there maybe towards the end of the night, but yes,
you were getting there. I led the way, correct? I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, you came out going strong, and you know, I was a little tardy. I had to drop the kid off at home before I came out, so yeah, had some city bike issues. Fucking wheels and the thing that weren't working, so I had to. But yeah, I think, I mean, this is, I don't know. I don't think you can put this one on Amy. I think you just got to be somebody who manages their own calendar. I mean, it's kind of standard stuff.
Yep. I understand. It was a, you know,
it's, you can't reschedule. I mean, we're talking about, you know, you had a good month's notice, 2 months' notice to try and alter this trip.
No,
it's impossible.
It's impossible. We can't do it. Because there's other people visiting her parents in the weeks before and after. So. It's tough.
Do you really
need
to be on the trip? I mean, the parents don't want to see you. They want to see your children now. I mean,
I could not go on the trip. And I could be like my brother-in-law who's, you know, basically shunned. But I don't want to go down that road. So I like being in Florida also. It's very happy for me. I get to play tennis down there in the winter and be outside in the winter. So it's, you know, I will miss you guys at All-Star Saturday. I'll send my regards. I'll FaceTime in if you'll have me. But, you know, other than that, not much I could do.
I think we'll finally proceed with, you know, having what I've always wanted to do, which is introduce the Paul printout that we spit upon before we finished the last cup. That is, I think,
First off, that's pretty ridiculous, given that I created the event. I've attended all but now two in the history.
Well, this will be your third.
This will be three?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this will be three times
now. All right, there was one that... Oh, that was a trip that I was forced on. Yeah, yeah. One was a trip I was forced on.
A lot of trips seem to be you get forced on nowadays, Paul. I mean, how many times?
Yeah, there was that. It was a Poconos one, and we didn't even have cable, so I couldn't even watch it. And I'm trying to remember what the other one was. Do you remember? I'm sure. I mean, you hold a grudge pretty strongly. Do you remember what the other miss was?
I believe you missed one at Garrett's apartment, where we actually had a quite large turnout. I feel like we had at least like four teams going that time. And then you also missed like the smallest All-Star Saturday we ever had.
Right. Where it was like three people, right?
Yeah. It was like four of us plus Sarah. And I think that's when Sarah did her Holden reveal. And like, we were all too like drunk and like out of it to like pick up on the t-shirt when she opened up like her little zip up to reveal the t-shirt, like announcing that she was pregnant.
I think this one will have fewer reveals. Hopefully it'll have, look, I hope for a good performance by people. Last year we were both a little bit, you know, taken aback by the lameness. Hopefully Hoboken regenerates it this year, and then I can come back next year, you know, and bring the fanfare that I normally bring and take it up a level. So if you guys need to FaceTime me to walk people through the rules, since everybody seems to forget every year and then you tend to try to make up rules every year, I can assist with that.
Number one rule, Paul, show up. Show up.
Look, I hear you. Let's pivot this a little bit. What's the rest of the decorum you wanted to discuss about here? The social decorum.
Well, I think obviously, I mean, there's a few incidents that we can go over here. Why don't we swing it to go-karts? Another commitment you made on that night. And you know, it's I mean, you swung out an all-star because apparently you can't manage your own calendar. And now go-karts, I mean, you know, you committed to the event. You said, oh, well, go-karts is too busy. There's always Topgolf. Topgolf will work. That's a good backup option.
No, the whole point was it was
– it's 50 degrees outside. I have to go play golf today. It's 50 degrees. It just never happens.
In December? It's
this
never
is 50 – the one time all year I get to play golf.
I didn't say any of that. I said it's never 50 degrees in December. I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. Corey did the same thing, by the way. Did he not?
Okay. Yeah, Corey did do the same thing. And I certainly think that it was a rude action on his part, but he's not on the podcast.
Also, I don't know why it's rude. It's not like I don't come and hang out with you guys a lot, right? Whenever I'm invited, at least I come hang out, right?
You're trying to make the effort, sure.
I make the effort. It's not like I'm a huge go-kart person. Obviously, everyone else – you guys didn't even book a reservation, and you guys wound up not going to go-karts anyway. So, you know.
No, I don't think any of that should have an impact on your status.
Of course, you wouldn't think about that. Yeah. Maybe if you planned an event better, you know, if you just said, hey, guys, I have these two reservations, then I would have felt guilty enough that I was breaking the plan. But since there was
Considering how hard it is to get you your schedule reserved, Paul, I really can't lay out money on your behalf at this point. It just is a – it seems like a
if you laid out the money, I would have either gave you or I would have said I can't cancel on them to go play golf because I have a commitment here. But there was no actual effort besides sending a calendar invite. You know, you had to actually make the reservation. You didn't wind up doing go-karts.
So a calendar invite is a better – that's a standard calendar maneuver at this point. We've had yours invites.
I will also add
– we didn't know what date we were doing, Paul. Shere and I were both like, we could do a Friday.
I will also add that I never committed to actually going to go-karts in the first place because I was not off of work. I was not. I never clicked – I said in person I was maybe, but throw me on the invite. I never said yes.
You said you were down in person.
I never said I was down. You were down. I said nope. You that was your interpretation. I said I will try to come.
Boy, I don't know.
Just because you want me to be there, and I appreciate that you want me to be there. That's very.
You
nice.
Already admitted that you were pretty gone that night, Paul. I mean, I think you need to let the reliable actors, you know, help you remember what you.
I don't know that
to.
You're ever a reliable actor, Ira.
You need.
I don't know. First off, you said you're on my level. So if that's the case, then you're not a reliable actor either. I don't think under good circumstances you're a reliable actor, especially in a case where you feel that you might have been scorned by a maybe, you know? So.
Yeah, there was no scorning happening. Just some very rude social decorum.
I think you just
said. And then, I mean, you know, so we now hit a couple activities on your slate. And this one, I mean, you have nobody to blame but yourself when it comes to it's snowing just on Paul Street and Scotch Plains, basically.
I live 40 minutes away from you. Just because it's not snowing by you 40 minutes away doesn't mean it's not covered in snow by me. I talked to other people the next day who had plans to go to Hobart.
35 minutes, maybe?
Ira. But that makes a huge difference in weather patterns. I talked to people the next day who live two blocks from me. They made it further than I did and turned around, okay? Because the same issue. They also turned around. So it's not just me. I'm not crazy.
The other person you're talking to, though, I mean, are they willing to actually make a drive? I mean,
obviously, you would never think so. Yeah. Obviously, you never think so.
I mean, I think anybody who's met Brooke's husband would not think that he's making that drive.
You only met him when you were 24. You don't really – I'd say none of you actually
would. I would say as you get older, one only grows less likely to make the drive. You know, probably get a little more cautious as you enter parenthood and whatnot. Yeah. Honestly, it was disappointing. We all made it out there. We made the drive. A little bit of rain.
You had no weather by you. You had no sacrifice on your end.
It was going. It was raining by us. There was spice out there.
I drive in rain, Ira. I drove during the state of emergency the other day to play tennis, okay? I'll drive in rain, but it was not raining by me. It was legit snow. We had snowmen out on our backyard for 4 days after that snowstorm, okay? So there was snow here.
I'm sure there was a little bit of snow, Paul. I'm sure. So you make a couple turns. You're on the major roads.
It's like, let's flip this for a second. You would rather me risk my life than miss bowling and bees. Which I'm going to go with
risk
you
again. Your life.
That's what you're asking me to do. That's what you're asking me to do.
You've had some comments about Garrett's willingness to make the trips over the years, you know, a little inclement weather. You don't always.
Yeah, because he skips during rain. That's the difference. That's snow.
I saw the picture you sent. There was a little bit of snow in a parking lot, an unpaved parking lot.
Oh my God. It was slippery, slidey, Ira. It was slippery, slidey.
I'm not convinced. Not too slippery to go to Wendy's, though. Not too slippery to go to Wendy's.
Well, I was there. First of all, I went to Five Guys. Okay, it's never too slippery to go to Five Guys. In college, that was true.
Sure,
I'll
get you the grease wheel.
That's right. I had to turn around somewhere, and it happened to be where the Five Guys was. I cut it off, you know. So
okay, all right. You made your choice, Paul, and you know, seems like that choice is becoming a theme. So
I'll see you tomorrow for bees and bowling, Ira. You know.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. Like, I mean, there
could be a little. Which, by the way, I asked you guys to move it up a day so that we didn't have to worry about the weather, but you guys wouldn't be flexible for that.
No, correct? I mean, I was open to moving it up if needed, but I think Scott, if anything, was a little, you know, that's not necessary. So.
Also, what do you want me to do? I had forethought. I said, hey, I'm anticipating bad weather by me. Okay.
But you also thought you wouldn't be an issue for you. I mean,
I did think it would not be an issue for me, but I said, hey, you know, and because the forecast did change and the roads were worse than they were and they didn't plow it. Which the funny, did Scott actually call the Scotch Plains township? Or is that a joke? Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell what was, okay. Because they did not clear my street until the next morning. So for the record. But
it's the snow keeps the robbers away, right? That's one plus.
That's one plus for sure. You'd see their footprints in the snow.
Yeah, I can't run so fast, you know. You gotta run through 2 feet of snow. I mean, most protected block in the whole state. And all right, let's switch to what people came here for now. Or do you have other off the beaten path topics that you wanted to cover?
No, let's switch in. One thing I will say, I'll have a quick complaint about. And you're gonna laugh about the Conley Accords. I feel that as a bottom manager right now, it's hard to make a trade to, like, because I am subject to the Conley Accords, it's hard for me to make a trade to get back in. Like, the COVID year that I always joke about, that how I was surging back to the playoffs, like, okay. That year I was in the bottom and I was able to make some trades with other bottom managers to move myself up. Hi, Leanna.
She can't hear her. She says hello.
Okay.
Do you say hello? Yes. Yeah. She's returned from her liquor run.
Are you going to be joining me now, or are you sitting there not having
a holiday
weekend?
I'm open the top. You know, I gotta work through this.
What do you have in there?
Just a little basil.
Nice. She just picked that up for you right now?
Yeah, she went out. Yeah, it's up until 9. So, yeah.
I thought she was just getting wine. Okay.
You know, it's a big store. That's a shopping cart store. You know, if you're gonna go in there, you're gonna pick a few things up.
Sure, sure. That's true.
Anyway, so your Conley Accords.
Yeah, I'm having an issue that it seems like unless I'm gonna I'm subject to the same accords that the playoff managers are. So it's kind of like I basically need to.
There's usually gonna be a playoff manager on the end of the deal, though. I mean, that's.
Well, my point is, if I want to trade in to be competitive, I'm still subject to the Conley Accords, which is kind of frustrating.
Well, I mean, I feel like there'd be like a pretty big. I don't know.
I'm saying the flaw with the Conley Accords is that it, like, once you're on the bottom, you don't have a lot of incentive to try to get your way out via trade anymore.
Let's talk this out. Like, I don't understand, like, what you can't do that you would have done.
I can't do, like, 2-for-1 trades necessarily anymore. That may have made sense. I guess I could.
Like, you want to trade? I mean, you could trade. Trade two guys for one player? I mean,
I guess the reality is I can't rip people off to the degree I used to be able to at the bottom.
Okay, I don't remember you doing that so often, but okay. I don't know, maybe you're thinking, I guess what, did you like buy a Jared Allen back in there or something like that, maybe? Maybe that's what you had in mind.
That was probably one of them. I was one of them.
Yeah. Okay. I guess what I have, to be honest, I haven't looked at the company quite so much this season. I haven't gotten into serious discussions yet with anybody that it seemed like I needed to take such an action. Yeah. But I mean, what, it's a pick for each player involved in the deal, right? So
if so that's the idea. So if you want to, the issue I found is if I want to acquire multiple players, like it's pretty hard to do it. And then like, so let's say I make like, I want to get like three players from Corey, right? Cause there, at one point there was like, I'm like, oh, I'd get three guys from him. But like one of them is like a Kongwu, right? And the reality is if I acquire three guys from him,
Paul favorite,
like I now basically, if things don't go according to plan after the trade, I need to dump at least three guys. And there's just not enough draft picks from the top teams to trade those three guys plus potentially another one or two to move my position up for next year. So like there's a lot of risk without like the payoff from the bottom. That's kind of what I'm getting. Okay.
Well, I guess I would say that those
and by the way, I still think the Conley Accords are good. I don't know, and I don't have a solution to this. I just wanted to bring it up as like a here's an unintended consequence from my perspective. And granted, many people don't usually have the same perspective that I do, that they're in the bottom three or whatever and they're trying to move up.
Pretty rare for a manager to make such a maneuver. I'd say from like anytime below seven,
I can't. But I mean, like I'm three games back. Me and John are both three games back from the playoffs, and we're 9th and 10th place. So you know, in theory, we should be wanting to try to get to those spots.
No, you didn't get to those spots. Like you should be trying to get back up at the standings. You mean?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, but I mean that doesn't. I mean, I think what you described, yeah, it might take a little more work for you to make more deals, but I mean, I don't know, like, are you really going to be able to trade a Kongwu to somebody? I mean, I guess you could, but like,
no, that's exactly
what's
my
the
problem.
Point. Like a lousier player like that,
that's a problem to acquire someone like that. It's not worth what I would have to give up to get him now.
That's a fair observation. To be honest, I'm not sure anybody's ever really brought it up that like, you know, like, well, I guess you need to deal a 9th at least for a 15th. In order to grab one player.
Yeah.
I guess I'll pull it up as we're talking. Like, do keepers change that or no? It's still like if you send a keeper to them, would that, like, it's not a player.
Yes, that would change that.
Okay. All right. That's probably what Levy was doing when he had his bullshit last year.
Right.
I forget. But like, yeah. So, I mean, like, considering the league, I think gives us a fair bit of leeway for that. I can put it out there on the podcast for the listeners. Jaren Jackson's on the market, so if anybody is looking for a late round keeper, you know, he is available.
I'm actually interested, Ira. I'd be interested. What are you trying to acquire?
Your team before there weren't that many guys that excited me, to be honest. I guess you had like
me neither, Ira. Me neither. that's why I'm where I am this season.
Right. Well, I mean, I would definitely want like Sengun in the deal. I mean, if you're willing to part with him, which I don't know if you are. Jaren would be an 8th round keeper next year.
Yeah, I'd be willing just because Sengun is like would be a 3rd round keeper, I think. So
Sengun. Okay.
Yeah.
Tough one. Yeah, I mean, like you're talking like Sengun. I mean, I was looking at Sengun and like Wagner as, you know, obviously being two interesting guys, but like I wasn't even sure if that was enough that I'd wanted to make such a deal with you. And I've looked at your team in a few weeks, so like, I don't know. I guess Jaden Ivey is like a little more interesting now that I'd have to look at like how long what's his name? Cade is out right now because I know he's out for several
a
weeks
bit.
At least.
Yeah, yeah, Ivy's been pretty good since then, so take a look. Well, look, at the end of the day, my team is not the story in the league this year. I think it's really a story right now of three teams essentially, and that's Dank, Andrew, and Justin.
This is true. I mean, we've had, I think the last podcast, it was starting to turn into like a Dank and a Bibsy at the top, and now Andrew's kind of joined them. He's taken down Justin in recent weeks. The thing is, it's kind of a blessing that we waited these last couple of days, though, for the pod, because it's a real zany week. I've actually heard from both Justin and Andrew complaining to me about how tough their matchups are going this week. Just out of the blue, so you know the guys at the top are getting a little wobbly already. I mean, I think Andrew's heading for a 7-2 defeat against Levy.
Does it seem to you like the games are just so wildly mismatched? Just like the healthy games played just make no sense this season. Like, The schedule seems very imbalanced this year. I don't know what it is, but
yeah, actually, now that I'm looking at it, now that I'm looking at the games played for the week, I might just take a look at Eric's team because there could be another warning on the list at this rate. but yeah, I mean, there's definitely some divergences. I think with like the, I guess like the midseason tournament, that's kind of whacked around with the schedules across the league all season. I mean, I know this week, you know, Cleveland and the Nets were in Paris for a game, so they both had one game weeks, so that messed up those teams. There's been some schedule variance. I don't know. A lot of it's managing, though, in my opinion. I don't know. There's some teams that are like, if a guy's hurt, they're going to make a move and adjust, and other teams just let him ride the bench. I mean, Corey and Shamir are, I think, prime examples of teams that have just been letting injuries litter their roster all season. But yeah, I mean, it looks like Justin and Andrew are both going to take hits this week. I think Bibbsy's trying to come back versus Duran, but I don't know. It's not looking the best. I mean, he's got two guys going late, so maybe they can close in on blocks and points to make it 5-4. But it's going to be three losses in a row for Justin. So a bit of a change of pace, which I think we were kind of projecting as we looked at his team previously. Meanwhile, Dank is going to rip through Eric at least 6-3. So I think Dan's about to go back on top of the standings.
Dan's roster looks really good still. Maybe even better than the last time we looked at it. You know, I think, and we said this last time, and I know he listened to our podcast last time. We're going to say it again. Dan, you're behind everyone in the league in moves. Like, you still have, and look, he's using both of his IL spots, so that's good. You know, DeAnthony Melton, does he need to be in the IL spot? Probably not. But his ranks, he's getting some stats this year, I guess. But, like, there could be some rotation on this roster. Dante DiVincenzo, he's been putting up numbers two since the trade, I guess. I can't hit on it.
Yeah, I agree with you, though, that like this team could do some streaming, which I just think Dan doesn't want to do. And if it did, it'd be
He just needs to do it to get practice in for the playoffs. That's really, like, Kelly Olynyk's not going to be super rosterable probably in the playoffs.
He's
like,
fine, but yeah.
But he's fine, but like, he's also, if you cut him, it's not gonna ruin your team. You know, it's like, get some practice in. I would even maybe consider consolidating two of these guys for a better player. Dan may actually be a trade candidate for me. Thinking about it now. You know, because Dan probably needs like one more streaming spot to open up and like, but yeah. It's interesting. Yeah.
The team is – it's right now it's healthy. I mean, it was kind of injured, like, the last few weeks. Like, I don't know, like, with the way that he's getting injured, he doesn't have any other long-term injuries, and he's not willing to do, like, a day-to-day stream with the game-time decisions. So, like, I guess he can keep Chris Paul because, like, I don't know. If he had an injured guy, I'd say put him in the Chris Paul or
– Well, I mean, Chris Paul should be in the IL spot now because he's actually injured and for 3 weeks. Move Melton to the IL plus, and then, like, you could toggle LeBron, make some drops, you know, do stuff like that. But –
like 101.
I think my skepticism last time we had talked was that he hadn't made it through the tough part of the schedule yet, and now he has. He's played everybody. Yep. So I think he's for real enough. I think, much like the NBA though, I think the regular season in EBTBBY is different than the postseason. So he just needs to get those moves up just to get the work in, because the guys ahead of him right now are at 60 and 80 moves respectively, and he just needs to get the work in. And you're hovering in fourth with 98 moves, so you know, he's going to play guys that are going to put up a lot of healthy games, and a stacked roster alone may not take him there.
Yeah, I will say, like, Dan might be in first place end of this week, but I'm just not convinced, like, he's staying at the top if, like, this is the amount of managing he's willing to do. Like, I don't know. Like, unless he finds somebody who's willing to, like, work with him to make a big trade to give him, like, one or two, like, huge guys at the top of this roster. Like, I don't know. He's probably getting fourth or fifth in the regular season, in my opinion.
Oh, see, well, I don't know about that. I think he's still probably going to finish top three. I think for him, like, honestly, he'd probably be happy this season getting a first-round bye in the playoffs and then, like, whatever happens.
Oh, he'd be thrilled, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, like,
a first-round bye, you're a top four finisher. I mean,
yeah. Yeah,
that's pretty nice stuff.
Yeah, he should look. If I were him, though, I would start thinking about, you know, trades, because, like, obviously Justin and Andrew and yourself are going to make trades. He should start thinking about trades, what that would look like for his team, who are guys that he values to what he's doing. Just so that when that day comes, he's ready to do it. He knows what he values. And look, reality is, like, if he's going to be in the top two of the standings for a lot of the season here, and he could solidify his roster and stay in those spots, like, dude, fuck next year. Like, you're here now. Like go for it. Like, this is your chance. So, you know, I would go for Brokaw in that situation.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I would definitely try to move off some guys. I definitely throw the picks out there, dump some of the loose end players, and, you know, upgrade this roster with top end talent. I mean, that's his best chance. He's not going to win with, like, he's not going to outmanage guys in the playoffs. So he's going to need the top line talent and hopefully some health to pull it out. We talked about Justin a little bit. I still don't think his team's that great. I mean, he's going to stay up there in the top three, top two.
So you've been anti his team all season, and I thought he was the best team coming into the season. So, I mean.
Well, you said the managing is going to get him past Andrew, we said. But, I mean, to be honest, he hasn't had to make a lot of moves just because the results have been there. But, like, I don't know. Like, now that Cade's going to be out for, I think he's out for months, we're talking about. 7 to 10 days evaluation, but we'll see. That could be a month. This team is awful in Detroit. And, you know, he's got a few guys that are day-to-day kind of things, but, like, I don't know, like, CJ McCollum's overachieving. I think Brunson might chill. Vucevic finally came back, but, like, I still think Chicago's a pretty messy spot. Jeremy Grant probably going to be tanking a lot with Portland. I don't know. He's got some talent. Like, Devin Vassell's finally playing better, but, like, to be all the Spurs are fucking
And by the way, Jeremy Grant is, like, potentially a trade candidate, and, like, if he gets traded, he's probably not going to get anywhere near these numbers. So
then he turns into like Denver Jeremy Grant, who doesn't do
he's,
a lot for
he, he actually he's in the same spot that Evan Turner was in the first year of the process, where like I had him on my team that year, where he was putting up monster numbers, and he was, you're like, well, this sucks because he's playing too well that they're either going to shut him down or trade him to a contender. And that's exactly what happened. He went to Boston, he came off the bench, and like literally his numbers halved. I think with him they're shutting him down or he's getting traded. So you're kind of in a screwed position here with him. Scotty Barnes has been an absolute monster this season, obviously in every facet. I think Justin's good at pivoting. Like, he's good at moving some of these guys, and like when whichever of these guys have fall offs, I think he's going to reinforce his roster in those spots. So
No, I agree with you. He definitely will make some moves in due course. We'll see what he pulls off, though. Like, not every Justin Wu trade is the best trade, so I'll be watching to see what he's able to bring together. And he's got you next week, Paul, so I don't know. Could be interesting. We'll see if I'm sure you'll be locked in for a little bit of a rivalry matchup. And,
You know, I'm always trying to go Bibbsy for three. That's always my goal against Justin, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think you would have landed 4 stats off him so far this week. So, you know, maybe 5 even. Yeah, so a potentially winnable matchup. So that could be fun. If we can get Justin on full tilt after he falls to Paul, we could have like a tilt trade. And, you know, this roster could be in for a bit of hurt. Let's hit Andrew, because, I mean, the guy's actually – I didn't realize it, but he hasn't lost a matchup yet this year. So he's heading for his first loss against Levy this week in a pretty shocking result, but Levy's posting some numbers, so you kind of, this is like a championship line besides like the free throw percentage. Maybe the blocks could be a little better, but like, I mean, Levy's gonna hit like 300 rebounds, close to 200 assists.
Why is Levy's team not better? Has he ran into bad matchups, or like, I don't really understand it. We thought his team was decent going into the year, and we told him just to hang with it, and he's not totally giving up. He's made 24 moves, which isn't bad.
Yeah, for Levy, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he just needs – he's another guy that should probably just make his move to get in the playoffs, since it's been a while for him.
He is a willing manager. He had a rough four-week slide until last week where he finally beat Dan. And now he's about to be Andrew. So, I mean, clearly this team has, like, some talent. I mean, we can flip over. I mean – Kawhi was out for a little bit, but he's having a great season. Just signed a nice extension with the Clippers. Apparently, we have a happy Kawhi right now. which should make for good fantasy. I mean, I think Giannis is definitely trying to play this season, which is a good sign. I think with the Bucks, they're still in transition with Dame, so Giannis needs to do a lot. You know, Brooks been performing. De'Aaron Fox has been in a big slump, but I mean, he was crushing it the first couple months.
Just call him De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Sorry. I skipped the E apostrophe.
That one's spelled like phonetically too. Like De'Aaron.
A little word. De'Aaron. You know. The listeners know. The listeners know, Paul. Yeah. And then, now Zach LaVine's back. Who knows if he's getting dealt, but Tyus Jones has been in a nice run. Lauri Markkanen, despite us saying it wasn't the greatest like second pick in the draft, he's been real hot playing like last year. So the talent's performing, and like the back end is like okay enough, you know. Levy has been like, for him, this is like pretty active. What, 20 moves you said? That's
24. Yeah,
that's a nice level of activity for Levy. I mean, that's that gives me a little bit of hope that this team might actually maybe make a trade.
Yeah, but he seems willing enough, and I think as long as he stays in the top eight, he's gonna try something. I think, but we'll see. Yeah, you bounce around Andrew's team for a minute there too, and can I ask a very stupid question? This is a very stupid question. He has Nick Richards on his team, and I will start by saying that you, me, and Garrett only went to Jersey City to watch that high school basketball event. He was in high school, so I do feel old. His picture, he looks pretty old, so I feel even older. But didn't he used to go by NIC Richards? Now he's going by NICK Richards.
I think you are right.
I'm not crazy.
I was just thinking of like Nick Claxton. I don't know. But
am I confusing him and Claxton? I don't know.
You might be confusing him with Claxton, maybe.
It's possible.
Yeah, I will say that you mentioned the pictures. I think that's like a today update on Yahoo's website. And I've always been an app. In the app, I've always turned off the photos because it's a little too much for me. I just want my numbers and like my roster and want to get to business. But from like an NBA PR maneuver, smart. It's good to have the pictures. It gets you humanizes the players. And
that's what they always say about the NBA is that the players are marketable because you see their faces. Whereas the NFL, you know, get the masks on and all that.
True.
Now I'm also envisioning you with like a Bloomberg terminal for fantasy basketball, like. Like it's just fucking like, you know, line charts and like numbers floating by the screen. You have a ticker on the bottom with people's points per game and all this kind of stuff.
Well, back in the day when I could have had like TweetDeck still up and running, you know, I could have had like, you know, 10 different columns running with the different things I was targeting on Twitter.
Yeah. I feel like you got to come here and set up my, I have a good setup now for all this kind of, I have my work laptop. I have my monitor and then I have, I have a Kindle Fire tablet, so I had them kind of like all three. You could really get me going on each of these here if I had the right information set up here to be a full time fantasy guy. I guess I get the league pass on the Kindle Fire, and the stat tracking on the laptop. But yeah, and maybe next year, At least in like 10 years, when the kids are kind of more self sufficient, then I could really get back to my full fantasy basketball situation. You know. Deep dives.
Well, I mean, well, you had your time last year, Paul. You're probably due for 9 years off, right? So I think you're
fine. I don't think I'm due for 9 years off. I think I'll be right back next year. I'm fine. I have good keepers. I'm okay.
Okay, all right. I'll
have at least a neutral draft board next year, okay? This year I had a very bad draft board. I'm back next year.
Well, I assume it's a trade-out year for you.
I'm not even out this year. There's time still. There's time.
I think there's enough competitive managers. I think Garrett's team's starting to come into form, I think. You know, he's giving you a good fight this week in your guys' matchup. I know, you're already in a hole, so I just feel like it's going to be tough for you unless you make the trade, if you could find somebody who wants to deal with you. But
yeah, we'll see what happens. It's only three games. You know, things change quickly in this league. Things change quickly. So you never know.
Yeah. All right, sure. Yeah, fair enough. Well, I will say Andrew's team is continues to deal with injuries, but definitely, I mean, the talent remains there. I mean, you know, he trades out one keeper in Desmond Bain now and gets LaMelo Ball back. Victor's on like a time monitoring. Who knows what the fuck that's going to do? Like I said, the Spurs are a mess. It makes it difficult for any manager. But there's a lot of talent on the roster still.
Darius Garland's
going to be out.
Can we just talk about this? I feel like I was really early on, like, is Popovich screwing with Wembanyama? And now, like, you hear all the NBA reporters start talking about it. We're like, oh, is it a Popovich problem? Like, I feel like I was really early on this train. I was like pre all the people going on Zach Lowe's podcast and bitching about it.
I feel like he's like the only coach that could get away with, like, I don't know, just like being like, yeah, you're a young rookie, I'm gonna play you every other game. Like,
not even that, and like not putting the ball in his hands, like it's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
I mean, he gets the ball enough. I don't know. I wouldn't put the ball in Wemby's hands that much yet either. Just because, like, clearly they're not making the playoffs. Like, they're, you know, it's...
Yeah, but that's the whole point. If they're not making the playoffs anyway, give him the reps, you know? Like,
oh, he's getting the reps, though. I mean, I think he's probably trying to teach him to play good basketball, I guess is, like, the idea, and keep him healthy.
Yeah, which... I guess that. I guess you don't want him, like, you know, tearing his ACL, trying to do some crazy dribble move on the perimeter. But... yeah. All right. So we kind of know our playoff teams.
we know our top three.
Well, I don't think we know our playoff teams yet. We'll save that for the next podcast. But you have Corey watch here. I just want to hear you go on a rant here.
Oh, I mean, well, first off, before we started today's podcast, I did update the average finish. I've already punched in Corey for 12th place this season. You know, I think it only took half a year to make that determination. he came very close yet again to getting a warning this week against my team after, you know, he just got a warning, I think, a week ago. I mean, it's bad times.
He's only two games back of Trev, Ira.
I mean, I'm
much like it, Trevier too much, you give Trevier too much credit, you know?
Oh, I do give Trevier too much credit because last year was a very strange performance that'll go down in the books for Trevier where he actually made moves. We've now reverted back to I don't care because I'm not making a playoffs Trev, which is, I don't know. It's a bit of like the, I don't know, it's a bit of more hermit mode, you know? He's turning back to his roots in the ugly years. But, I mean, this is going to be an all-time finish for Trevier also. I think these teams are both 11 and 12. I don't think anybody's going to be down there. I mean, I know you might trade out, but it probably won't be as bad as these guys. Plus,
no, I have
expense is where you want to be. So, like, there's no reason for anybody to drop to this level.
No, plus I have shame. I'm not going below 400. You know, like it's I that to me is always the shame barrier. Like, you know, you could win 3-4 games a week. You know, just by having shame. So.
Yeah, I mean, setting your roster, using your IL spots, I mean, that just, like, ensures that you at least have some games on the table. Yeah, both are below 400 already, and, I mean, I'm expecting Corey is under 300 probably before this season's done.
Wow. I don't know about that. Trevier, that's harsh.
We'll see. I mean, I looked at his roster. I know other teams have, too. There's nobody even to trade for. I mean, I guess Quickly now after his move to Toronto has some appeal, but he might want to keep Quickly because, you know, Josh Giddey's probably going to be in prison next year. So it's well, I mean, which, in fairness, is on point for Corey's team. He does love a good murderer. Or, well, I don't know. Is he into the molestation? I don't know if that's
no one's into molestation. Can we calm down here? Calm down. Jesus Christ!
Put the whiskey away. But technically, that is that not
is what station is what not.
Well, I guess not. It's she consented. All right, fine. That he's having sexual engagement with a 16-year-old. I don't know.
If she's 16, she can give consent. I believe is the technicality.
Okay, I do remember going to college,
but only up to actually. Sorry, I'm wrong. Up to an 18-year-old, she can give consent. If like. A 16-year-old is allowed with a 17-year-old, I think, but not with an 18-year-old.
Yeah, that's crazy. That like little gap is crazy to me, but whatever. that's another story. Not my problem, thankfully. But yeah, and Corey's team—he's actually playing well versus me this weekend. Now, like maybe Keegan Murray, somebody wants. He's been kind of hot. Zubac playing great now that James Harden's on the Clippers.
Yeah, like Brendan Ingram's not sexy, but like he's. He's acquirable, like, you know, and I don't think he's a keeper.
I agree. Yeah, a little overrated in fantasy, but still could be useful for a playoff roster. I guess, like, I don't know. It's these are the kinds of things where it's like, if you're a crappy manager, want to get value, like, now's a great time for Corey to trade because, like, you guys are playing well. But he's probably not going to, and he's probably going to get very little at the deadline because he doesn't engage in the process. But yeah, and then we'll hear people complaining in the offseason about moves. But yeah. Anyway, let's keep moving. Anyway, Corey has one violation. If he does it again, he'll be losing, I believe a 10th round pick. And after that, is it a fifth rounder? I think it might jump after that.
This rule is the one I never remember off the top of my head. So I would also have to go back to the book. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's not good either way.
He said it for a 12-12 season. Like, he got 12th last year. So I think this will be, let me do a quick scan here. Yeah, not even Dan has ever done the 12. Oh, no, he did. Excuse me.
I was like, 2009
to 2011, Dan did.
So he had 3 years. He went back to back to back.
Yeah. A 12 dynasty.
That's very East Brunswick volleyball, going back to back to back.
Yeah, there you go. I'll say, I mean, Dan might be close to Corey in average finish, though. If he drops like a fourth place this year and Corey takes a 12th, it could be getting a little closer. So something to monitor. And great to see Levy probably isn't getting 11th this year. So that'll break his streak of 4-11th in 5 years. Okay, what else do we have on the rundown that we need to hit today? I mean, we had ran. What's the time on it, by the way?
We're at 51 here. We're okay.
Okay, I know at the hour mark.
I'm keeping an eye on it. I'm keeping an eye.
That's why we need those monitors. That's good podcasting right there. all right, I had a few. I thought these were interesting ideas to throw around. I feel like you're always into like the scheduling and how like I know like there's imbalance out there and like you wish like there was a more balanced schedule. I don't know if we're there. I don't know if this really solves that dilemma necessarily, but I did give a think. You know, I thought like we could have like some fun concepts to like change the schedule up like mid-season, you know, as we're kind of approaching the more like are you in or you out in the playoffs. So I'll throw a few at you. Start off with like maybe like a rivalry week.
Oh, I've always wanted this. So yeah, you have me. Yes, I'm in.
Okay.
And I'm not sure I definitely never voiced this to anyone. I'm like, this is the one they're going to laugh me out of the room for, but I love it. I love the idea of a rivalry week. It's like, you go on ESPN for college basketball season, they have rivalry week, they have like, you know, all these stupid things like that, but I love it. It's like, it's fun fanfare. The question is like, who's my rival, you know? That's what I always wonder.
Right, it is. I mean, it's a bit like talking about a challenge cast where it's like, you're somebody who has plenty of options, I guess, for your rival, right? But you got to think about the whole league. I haven't actually gone through it yet, so we can kind of talk through some of the names and, you know, like, and like who's Eric facing, for example? Like, that's somebody who's a
Eric's facing Duran. Let's be like, it's Eric and Duran. We're gonna put them, the two of them, like, you know, in that court. It's like the happy to be here is like they both worked at New York Sports Club. Like, fun, fine. Like, it's
we'll
a friendly
make a trade,
rivalry.
And yeah, might be a little odd trade, but it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
okay, I like it. I mean, like somebody like is it like a Dank versus Corey, like the crap off? Is that like what we're? Do you think that's what we're looking at?
I think that's what we're looking at. I think so.
That's fair, and then nobody gets like an easy layup advantage either. It's kind of like they each have each other. And, like, I feel like everybody can kind of accept
who,
that.
Who is Garrett's rival? That's like who's Garrett's rival?
I mean, that could be – I mean, I might be a nominee for a Garrett rival. I ruined his perfect season. I think nobody ever gets under his skin quite the way I do.
Yeah, you guys have – you're right. You guys have big primetime matchups in, like, in the playoffs, basically. So that I do like that one as a rivalry. Okay.
Okay. All right. So we're putting in – all right, Garrett versus Ira. I guess the only other person – I mean, we could have Trevier, considering he's been the only person to ever want to put his name up for the commissionership. So that also could be an option.
This is very like, I'm trying to think of if there's a good college basketball example of like, Trevier's like Indiana, okay? Trevier's like Indiana, right?
Michigan State or something.
He was a blue blood. He considered himself rival with Kentucky back in the day. But like, time has passed Indiana by, and now their rival is Rutgers. They can't beat Rutgers, right? Like, that's Trevier. That is Trevier. He was. he had key rivalries in the early days, and now he's just kind of, you know, waffling in obscurity a little bit.
Well, Drew's definitely an afterthought, that's for sure. I mean, yeah, like, could a Trevier John be interesting? Like, I feel like that's kind of like a clash in styles.
I do like that. They did, and they were roommates for a bit of time, so that kind of adds some juice to the matchup.
Okay, yeah, I could see it. John versus Trevier, and it's like John's style being like, you know, he wants his like guards, he wants his efficiency from free throws, low turnovers, and Trevier's just like, give me the talent, give me the numbers.
Yep, and it is an old guard versus new era situation as well. So I do like that. You know, whenever you can throw that into the blender, it's always good.
Okay, who's left? We have yourself, Andy.
Well, this season,
Justin. Who's the other manager that I'm missing?
Levy.
Levy.
This is the question. Levy. Who's my rival, Levy or Justin? It's like, which one's North Carolina and which one is Maryland, you know? I'm the Duke in the scenario, obviously.
Yeah, I think you and Coach K could be that's a good parallel. I like it.
Whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes.
I feel like it might be... I guess it, is it you and Levy? I feel like
I think it, I guess it has to be to give Andrew a rival. Plus, I do, you know, calling it like the Robbinsville Cup or something like that. You could have something there that's good.
I feel like Justin following Andrew around wherever he lives. I mean, I'd say like Andrew had like a bit of like a. I know he didn't win titles, but like he had a great stretch in the middle of EBTY before Justin emerged as like the new second man in the hierarchy. So there's a bit of a they're both obviously big moves guys, so I see it. I see potential there.
And I will say, Levy and I, the rivalry's always been strong because we both of the people that have not won a championship, we're both kind of like the ones that have over time kind of clamored for it the most and will kind of do anything it takes. We've been entwined in several shady deals. You know, our styles are similar that way. Or at least were at various points in time. It's hard for me now because I feel like I'm a better manager than him in the last few seasons. But I do think the rivalry holds up. It also helps that, like, you know, our history of having the detente, and you know, I don't know if you remember that whole thing, but
were you guys part of what was it, the New Guard back in the day?
We were the New Era.
The new era. Oh, old guard versus new era. Yes, thank you. Only two of the three remain, but yeah, it was a good moment.
Who was the third? I don't even remember who the third was.
Wiser was the third in the new era.
Was he?
I'm pretty sure.
Did we include him in that? That was nice of us to include him in that.
Yeah, I think he retired as like the third place or second place roster. Like he got second or third place when he left the league.
Okay.
So I think also you and Levy were also the ones. Were you the ones that did the Conley trade back in the day? I think. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, there's definitely
the one where I almost stopped being friends with everybody over. Yeah. Because Levy, and actually that's a good rivalry moment too. That he literally, basically sold me down the river, because I was basically like, you can't just like back out of this after we started a fire basically, and you're like, oh, well, I'm gonna let Paul deal with it now. Like, I'm out. It's fine. So yeah, it's a good rivalry. You've talked me into it, Ira.
All right. I'm glad we found some nice synergy across the league. Okay. Yeah. Now
we just need to name the rivalries. You know. Well, we have time for that.
Once we post the pod, I'm sure the sponsorships will come in. And you know, we'll negotiate and find the best offer on the table. Okay. Next concept. I thought you mentioned this before. Another NCAA classic was like, yeah, just doing more like a classic, like bubble busting matchups.
The bracket buster week or whatever.
Busters, which I don't know why they got rid of that concept, because I feel like it was like such an easy, like these two like mid-majors.
They haven't got rid of it. It's you stopped really? Watching ESPN because you watch all Big Ten Network now and Fox Sports 1. That's what happened. I promise really? You that's what happened. They still
have it. It's still on ESPN? Really?
Yeah, they still have it. We just don't watch ACC basketball anymore.
Yeah, okay. That could be part of it. Okay, that's funny. But I feel like this, obviously, for anyone who's not so familiar, because college basketball, who has time anymore? you know, it's you put together teams that are similarly matched. So, like, instead of doing rivalries, you know, this season, like, we'd have Andrew and Justin face off, and maybe Dan and myself face off, and Trevier and Corey at the bottom would face off. You know, we could just kind of say it like the 10-week mark, you know, take the standings and, you know, 1v2, 3v4, et cetera, et cetera.
So this is something I've been talking about forever, is that we should essentially do some sort of like mid-season schedule fix. The problem is in a year like that, like the problem is you don't want to do it in quadrants where it's like the top four, the middle four, and the bottom four. Cause like John and I are obviously trying a lot harder than Trevier and Corey. So if we did that, John and I would have a kind of a huge advantage over the teams right above us who are essentially, you know, a game within us basically. So it's going to take more effort to think through that. That said, I'm to your initial point, I'm always down for somehow zhuzhing the schedule and kind of like figuring out a way to, I thought I had a proposal in the last year or two where it was like, it may have been after a few more weeks.
Ah, fuck. We went over. Come on. Paul, you're watching the timer.
I am watching the timer. We're good. Ira. That's the whole point. I literally watch it tick up to 60.
You said it was an hour.
Last time I cut it an hour. So the whole point was to watch it at an hour and see if it stopped recording. So we're good. We're at 61:22. So it's fine.
It didn't stop.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For some reason, out of nowhere last time, it auto stopped at 60, which was bizarre. But we're good. We're good. I'm watching it.
Okay. Sorry to cut you off.
Anyway, my point is, like, we got to figure out schedule mechanisms, but, like, bubble bursting week, it's interesting. Like,
It's a start. Like,
the real concept we want to get to here is, like, playing more meaningful games as you get towards the end of the season, as opposed to, like, you know, what, there was that year where John played the worst
three. I see what you mean.
John was in seventh place and then played the worst three teams the last 3 weeks of the season. And it's like, all right, well, like, where's the hero's journey to get into playoffs? You know, like,
let me give a summary for the listeners in case like they don't have the same like vision in their head of what they're dealing with. You know, like there's 11 teams that you play, and we're going through weeks 1 through 11 in the schedule. You play every team once, and then there's like another 9 weeks until the playoffs. What we're referring to, especially like the trade deadline, is usually around week 17, week 18. So like whoever you're playing, especially those like last 5-6 weeks. If you get just a, like, you know, if you get 5 or 6 lousy teams that aren't making moves to compete, instead they're making moves to tank, you're getting a real advantage. So Paul's talking about like if we could change those 5 to 6 weeks so that you're playing all competitive teams, or if you're a losing manager, you're playing all losing teams.
And what we would do, so can I give you this other concept too? There's a concept in one of the European soccer leagues, I want to say, where is it, where Dan lives, Netherlands, where like after a certain point in the season, they like literally cut the league. And if you're below the line, like, so like, so for instance, right?
Well, this let's is say what we cut I it today. The managers
if John and I were below the line, John and I were below the line, like we'd play the bottom four, but even if we like win out the next few weeks and our record's better than the teams that were in, you know, seventh and eighth, we still wouldn't qualify for the playoffs because we were below the cut. So it's like you cut down as the weeks progress, basically.
Yeah.
So.
And that was, I mean, this was purpose. What I, a little Illumination fantasy basketball, which I know seemed like there was some, I'm glad we got the discussion going at the last manager's meeting. And I mean, I feel like this like 1 week, like a 1 week concept, I feel like would get, people would be on board because like it's a fun little gimmick. It's like the in-season tournament where just like, you know, you change it up a little, something to like mark on the calendar. So definitely, I think your idea is also like interesting in comparison to like Elimination Fantasy. It's a little more, not as extreme. It's a little more middle ground to have the schedule rejiggered. And just to remind those who might be wondering, like you can use Stat Tracker, which is a one click button on Yahoo to see all the stats.
Ira, no like, one else. I mean, no one goes onto their laptop to look at fantasy besides you. I promise you that.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe John, instead of using algorithms to cheat all season, because I saw that move at like 3:20 at like three. I don't think John was up at 3:25 in the morning when he moves. So I saw your little practice code, John. Don't think it slipped past my eye. I took a screenshot on my phone, and it will be brought up again at the managers meeting. And if Paul stopped being an asshole this year, we'll actually pass a rule to put a stop to it.
Why don't we just take the real action and we should just bomb the Amazon
AWS.
Yeah. We just bombed their servers.
Yes, we all ran somewhere. It's dues are up this season, guys. We need to hire some bot armies to take John down. Dan's got a few contacts in Europe that
the terrorist what we need. The terrorist organization, EBTBBY. Is taking credit for the bombing.
Oh, you know what? Our recording just got stopped. Look at that. No. Just kidding. and my last concept, which I think for a scheduling concept, I think this is actually an interesting one where like it's a reward if you have the best drafted player. Because I feel like people are interested in rewarding the draft. So I'm saying if you have the best pick in the draft, you get to select your matchup for this like special week in the schedule. And the way you would determine the best player in the draft is you take the selection slot they are in the draft. So let's say whatever, it's like you're the 120th pick. You take your, let's say total rank for the season. You take the 120 draft selection and you minus their rank. So let's say you drafted Keegan Murray at 120 and he's ranked 50th. That would give you a number of 70. So like if that was like the best drafted player for the season, you would be rewarded by picking whichever team you wanted to play that week.
So,
and every team, it would go in order of like the best pick.
I thought that you would never have a worse idea than your future draft pick idea, but this is taking the cake. This is terrible.
Wow. Well, you don't want to reward the draft?
First off, we know how flawed Yahoo Rank is. It's terrible. Like, it doesn't really make – it doesn't make a lot of logical sense anymore.
It's not perfect, but I think it has some value.
Second off,
I understand free throws off, and turnovers skew with it.
The reward is that you drafted well. Why do you now also get to juice your matchup?
I think it's a fun way of getting a little.
And
a
like, boost. I'll give you one more thing. Let's say we have rivalry week, and your rival is like Corey. Right, Dan and Corey are rivals. Dan this year, he gets Corey. Dan also had the best draft pick. He's going to take Corey again. And then he has Corey during his regular program week. So now he has three matchups against Corey.
Okay, yeah, what's the big deal? Plenty of teams play each other twice.
I don't understand having a
I think it's
draft reward. Because
everyone thinks the draft should have like a lot of value. And this is a way
I also think it tilts towards the you and Justins who are always drafting in the 14th round. Because the odds are of someone out kicking their draft spot there are a lot higher.
It's an interesting point. I would say probably look at the draft results before we assume that. To be honest, I haven't actually looked at who would win right now. I had Derek Lively, but I don't think he's that high in like total rankings.
Yeah.
So actually, interesting. All right. Well, this is another quirk in the rule. Like Jalen Suggs went in the 15th round. John took him, but he's now on my roster.
Right. So he didn't draft me. No. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of like, if we're rewarding drafting, you need to have actually drafted the person, not just like acquired him in free agency. Because,
I would probably say that you could only use a keeper once. So, like, I would say, like Chet Holmgren probably wouldn't count this season.
No, 100%. No, if it's a keeper, absolutely does not count. Like, because the whole
point. Great pick.
The whole point is that you acknowledge that you're getting the reward already. Like, it's the whole point is of what you're saying here, if we were to do it, is blind faith, right? Is that like, I think this guy's going to, you know, this rookie's going to be way better than people all think he is, or this role player is going to be primed for a bust out season. It shouldn't be about I know this guy's going to outperform the draft position because I took advantage of it last year. Like that. No way. Absolutely not.
Okay. I mean, I'd say like we have like quickly in the 13th round. We have, yeah, like I said, we have Suggs in the 15th. There aren't that many other competitors. Miles Bridges won in the 10th. I think total rank, he's not up there because, you know, he had to sit out a while. Yeah, honestly, the late round picks have not been a lot of like.
It just, I don't least, know. So, like, Rifle Luke is fun because.
Malik Monk. He's probably the winner.
To me, like, rivalry week is fun. Even bubble busting week, the concept I kind of enjoy if we figure it out. Because, like, they're, like, fun little things that to look forward to. This is, like, an super arbitrary and, like, I don't understand.
It's super arbitrary.
It's fairly arbitrary.
The ranking will do this.
That's no, but, like, what's the – it's not, like, a – it's kind of meaningless. Like
– Yeah, 81st in the year.
The reward for having the best draft pick is having the having the best draft pick and like rubbing it on people basically. And by the way, it's probably gonna be really.
I would say we probably don't rub it in though. I would say usually like people are like, oh, I want the draft to count, but like how often are people talking about their late pick and saying like, oh, I crushed it with my late pick.
Then what you're talking about
this is a moment to highlight these players.
Then what you're talking about is we should have superlatives. I bring this up every year. We should be doing superlatives on our podcast and like giving people little like mini trophies or something like
that. Sure.
People love that shit.
Okay, I'm happy to do some off-season superlatives. We're waiting for you to write a, you know, to write a rundown, Paul. The people are still waiting.
Oh, come on. So, come on. You know I can't. I don't have that kind of effort level.
This is how you procrastinate?
All right, this is my third glass of wine. Okay?
I miss the All-Star.
This is my third glass of wine. This is what I bring to the podcast, okay?
Proud of you, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. What else we got? Return of injuries. I don't feel like talking about that now.
That's fine. Yeah, let's skip that. I think we're ready to move on to. Anyway, I think it's
good. As Ira wrote, the Rutgers jerk off. Is that what you want to talk about? The Rutgers jerk off.
Oh, we definitely hit it. I mean, we touched upon the last pod, and I think we're pleased to announce that Rutgers has secured two of the three best players in the nation for next season. So Rutgers is about to be a top 25 team, and like coming into the year. And, you know, we're going to be on national television. You guys could be hearing about it in the main chats. I mean, this is like the first time that, like, 5 years ago when Rutgers was actually good and people were like, wow, like, this Illinois game is, like, we're going to be texted about it, man. Like,
Let me ask you a question. You think back to yourself as a kid watching Rutgers basketball, right? Which is the more, like, is this crazier? To me, this is, like, the thing – more almost more than like making the NCAA tournament, it's like this is the dream, because there's always like, well, if we just get one good recruiting class, we could do it. I feel like this is like almost a bigger deal than making the NCAA tournament a few years ago. It's so exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I think the NCAA one was like,
no, I mean, we loved it, obviously. Like, I know it. We felt it. We wanted that so bad.
That was unimaginable. I mean, this is also a bit unimaginable.
This is unimaginable. Plan, like,
yeah. I don't know, I guess, like, the NCAA, I'd say, it's just, like, it happened. I don't know. I mean, the NCAA was so weird. The fact that, like, they were going to make it, and then COVID hit, and, like, we had to, like, we didn't even, like, get it, which is, like, so Rutgers. I mean, it's, like, any, like, so, like, bottom-of-the-barrel team that just is always hard on their luck. I mean, in this scenario, like, I don't know. Like, I'm very skeptical. I know Andrew's very skeptical, too, about this all working out. But just because, like, being a Rutgers fan. But, like,
I know. Our natural instinct is that these guys are going to decommit somehow in the next, like, 3 months, right?
Like, just, like, an injury. Just, it's not going to work. Just, they're just going to shoot a lot and miss a lot. I don't know. I'm also a little, I don't want to burst your bubble, but, you know, I'm a little about college basketball after – like NIL stuff and just the way the games developed.
Oh, that's fair. I think that's totally fair.
It could just be partially that like the team's not that good now, and I'm dealing with my child anyway, so I'm just not so.
That is probably more of it, that you have less time to consume it. That's probably the bigger thing. The team is also really bad this season. They're really, really bad. And I watched the game today, and it's like, do any of these guys know how to play basketball? Like, it's really rough. It's really a challenge to watch.
I'm sorry. What was it? Were you talking about Rutgers when you mentioned comparing a player to Levy, his basketball instincts? I forget. You were saying to Amy that this player's like has an athletic body, but isn't an athlete.
I think that's correct. Hold on, who was that? Was it? I don't know if it was Cliff. Was it Cliff?
I don't think it was Cliff.
I don't think it was Cliff either. But it was someone who was just like shying away from like. Oh fuck! Now this is gonna bother me.
It was so bad.
Just
like, it was a physical specimen who like looked like he could do things. What were we talking about? I don't even know. It had to be basketball. No, what else would it have been?
Not football. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but it had to be basketball.
But yeah, I use the analogy that like I'm like just because someone looks athletic doesn't mean they like are coordinated and like can compete and. You know,
that's funny. Whatever. Okay, let us move along. But yes, Rutgers gonna be a big, hopefully a big story next season podcast. We'll see. Hopefully it's an entire EBTY season that it's alive and well. Okay, we did the parenting check. Should we hit a? That's it. I feel like I already had Hoboken years in the rundown. Because I feel like with, you know, Scott's announced, I feel like it's official news at this point that he's flying the coop and leaving the Hoboken sanctum for the suburban pastures. The last guy left is Trev, right? He's our last Hoboken survivor.
Wild. That's actually wild, yeah. Yeah. The numbers are
kind of crazy. Yeah. Hey, looking back on it, I feel like this could have been the Hoboken years. I mean, I know we didn't have a Duran and Eric, we didn't have Andy or Justin, but like the rest of the league.
No, there was a time when we had you, me, Garrett, Trevier, Levy,
Corey lived in Hoboken.
Corey. Also, that's seven of us. We're all in the league at the same time.
We had eight, didn't we? Who were we missing? We had Dank lived in Hoboken. I know it's earlier.
Was he there? I don't think he was there when all those people, like when. He was not there with Corey, I don't think.
I guess there was a period. Well, was there a period when all seven overlapped? I guess so.
Maybe yeah. Six at most, but like, no, Hoboken served us very well. Like,
when Corey had that rental apartment, I recently did like a whole New Year's rundown over the years to like remember where everything was. There was a period where Corey had that Midtown Hoboken apartment. I think at that point, all seven.
It wasn't Midtown. He never lived Midtown. He lived downtown, like, but west.
No, it was like eighth.
Corey lived down
there was one New Year's where we went to Corey's first to prepare.
Yeah, it was like first and grand. It's like first and grand.
Yeah, we'll have to get some feedback on that one. All right. Well, I think at that point there was probably seven managers. Well, so a near quorum of Hoboken managers at that point in time. So yeah, we had a moment for Hoboken years, but I guess now we're who knows what our next years will be. But yeah, I feel like Hoboken is coming to an end. But now you've looped in, I feel like, one last Hoboken hurrah, Paul. Besides, I mean, you're bailing on All-Stars.
But I have looped in, yeah. This is the announcement that I think everyone should know by now. And I just secured babysitting. My parents were thinking about going to Florida that day, but they're coming back a day early so they can babysit officially. So we're officially
Wow, your parents are better than fucking you. Wow.
What?
I'm actually more for the league than you are. Jesus.
Everybody, after years of me saying, why aren't they coming here? They're actually coming in February also, but I'm going to be watching a Maryland game in Michigan State. But March 8th, everybody, come watch Paul in his natural habitat in Hoboken at what used to be Cadillac Cantina and the Alligator Lounge and probably something else in between. Kristen the Noise is going to be there, and I'm very excited about it.
Right, where is it going to be? I don't even, did you say the name?
It's now called River Street Garage, which is a horrible name for a bar, but it's next to Texas, Arizona on River Street,
and it's on River Street naturally. Yeah. So, right by the path, folks.
And you know, I've had very good drunk moments at Cadillac Cantina, you know, there's the you know, throwing up over the window and stumbling
drunk. I missed that day, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It was a day of legends, I feel like. But, yeah, I missed that one.
There were times
I was going to ask you, so I was gonna check. So this is a co-ed affair, right?
Yes, Amy's coming. We I think we're gonna get a hotel room actually in at the W. We're gonna go all out.
We'll be renting a charter van down to Atlantic City the next day to
Valleys. Sounds good because they are playing there the next night. Sounds good to me. Hey mom, can you stay one more day?
There's a huge snowfall in Hoboken. I know in Scotch Plains there's nothing falling, but in Hoboken it's a disaster.
Actually, it's actually perfect between Hoboken and Atlantic City, but if I go west, it's no good. So,
yes, I have to dodge the snow in Hoboken, so I'll be going south and then coming back north. Yes.
Oh boy, I'm excited for Christmas in Hoboken now. That's like a big deal.
March 8th. What day? That's gonna
it's
be
a Friday. It's a Friday.
A Friday night. Oof. That is going to be, oof, yeah. That's going to be a young crowd, right? I mean, you got to figure. Mm-hmm. What's the scene going to be like in there?
Is you're saying that anyone our age is like too tired on Friday after work to go out, basically?
Well, it's downtown Hoboken. This is like the epicenter of like youth, I feel like, now.
If you recall, like back in Garrett's early Hoboken days, him and his coworkers used to always go out there at the Alligator Lounge. Like that was their spot.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. I feel like I might have missed that time, but okay. Like I missed those early Hoboken days. I wasn't living there yet, and like you guys are kind of at your peaks. I feel like.
Yeah, we were still like energized to go out every weekend, you know, or most weekends.
All right. Well, this is good. We have something on the calendar. Oh, this kind of comes full circle for the podcast. I'll see if I can get Leanna out of the house. I don't know. It'll be tough. We got to skip the bedtime.
Tell her it's close enough to Amy and my birthday that we can be like, oh, it's our birthday celebration. So like, just tell her that.
I love a good birthday capper. I've been using it on my birthday for years.
Yeah, why don't you like doing things for your birthday?
I'm fine doing things for my birthday, but people don't like doing things.
This is literally not true. One year I like literally called you and I'm like, let's go out for your birthday. And you're like, no, I don't want to do that.
There might have been a time where I was a little more like, I don't want to have a thing about it. But like now, where you guys are all bitches and like never want to man up.
No, see, you're just making excuses now. Now you're making excuses now.
Whoa. Not. I will say, a moment of redemption for you, Paul. You actually were good at socializing, so we can at least go bowling tomorrow. You were actually like active and being like, yeah, I can do this. Let's do this.
Yeah, most people just don't even respond to the text message. Like, that was what happened with the go-karts, is it? Like, this is the thing, like, I'm an easy target for you, but at the end of the day, I'm the person that moves the plans along generally. I always respond with a yes
or
no.
You're all I got, yeah.
I always respond with a yes or no. And if it goes from a yes or no, I communicate that to you. It's not just like yeah, I can't go anymore, like 3 minutes before the event, like, sorry, you know? Like, you gotta respect that at least, Tara. Come on.
I don't know. I'm with you. I know. Originally, I had the whole social decorum gimmick in my mind for the podcast. You know, a little look behind the scenes. I was thinking like I needed an arbitrator to be on here to like, and then we could both present our cases and like have like a a neutral decision made. I tried hooking Shabir in, and you know, wasn't up for it. And the guy had to watch a movie tonight. So yeah, it's you're all I got here for the IP address.
He had to watch a movie tonight. What does that mean?
Tours of the Flower Moon. It's streaming on Apple TV right now. So,
he had to do that.
Podcasting's tough, guys.
He had to practice his violin. You know, it's a tough life for Trevier over there. You know?
This is how it goes. This is all you got, guys. So just know the IP address is trying to come up with new concepts. We're working hard to make the sausage work for you. We got past an hour today. Easy peasy. And come back in a month because trade deadline's coming up. I think that there should be some activity. This season's way too close to not have any activity, or else I'm gonna win the title again. Is that really what you want? You know, don't come complain to me at the manager's meeting when I win the title and you guys do nothing. Any last words, Paul?
I had a lot of words today. I think I'm okay.
Yep. Paul's a bitch. Won't see him at All-Star this year.
No, I'm just having this ended with you admitting that at the end of the day, while you like to give me grief, I'm a good communicator on the plans, and I generally move them in the right direction and don't just ghost the text like most people do. Right, correct? That's where we're really going to fall out here. And that generally your madness towards me is that you're just sad that I can't make it. That's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, exactly. Without you, why bother? Why bother, Paul? You know, so keeps the league running.
Pretty gay, Ira. Pretty gay. You know, I'm saying.
All right. With that, happy potting, people.
Happy potting, everybody.